Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
But today we're starting a brand new sermon series called Holy Icks, stuff that makes Jesus upset, or stuff that grosses Jesus out, or stuff that gives Jesus the ick or the cringe. You guys know what I'm talking about when I talk about icks? If you don't know what an ick is, right, by definition, you haven't experienced an ick before in your life. I'll give you an example of some of my own. And so, because I have a lot of them. Anytime somebody around me chews loudly, I have a problem with that. And loud is anybody that chews louder than me. Right? Or smacking your gum. You ever meet somebody who smacks their gum? How much chewing aggressiveness do you need to do to make your gum snap? Okay. So I went out to eat on Friday to a restaurant. I'm not going to tell you where I went, but I'm never going to go back there. Ever. But it's not because the restaurant wasn't good, so I feel bad for them. But I was walking out. We'd done our food, and a lady at the table right before I left was, instead of using a napkin, she finished eating, and she literally was having course number 3 on her fingers. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, that's bad. It's disgusting. You then go touch doorknobs and everything else with your nasty, like, use a napkin. Are you tracking with me? Okay, if you're not grossed out by that, it's because you do it. Okay, some of my other eggs. Anytime I see somebody wearing sunglasses indoors, I'm like, I don't get it, right? Remember a few years ago, some of you are going to not like this example, but a few years ago on social media, there was a trend where you went on vacation to the beach and you took a picture of the ocean and you were on a chair and your feet were the center of it. You guys remember that? So some of you, it's always, when I say this one, it's always like, because you know, if I slide your feet down far enough, I'm going to find your feet on your feet. I like the I'm quitting social media, and here's a 10-slide goodbye post. That makes me cringe. People crying on camera and posting it. How sick can you be if you're doing this right now? How about an anniversary tribute? You know what I'm talking about? When, like, the two people are beside each other, and instead of being like, happy 17th anniversary, I love you so much, you're the best decision I ever made, blah, 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 they're out here, they're like, I love this person so much, they're the best, it's like, just tell them. They're right there, just wake up, and you can even show them if you want, right? Anyway, and so, you'll get that later. I got a lot of church chick, too, like a lot of church chick, like, there was this trend on TikTok this year. I thought it was really cute. The first one I saw was this teacher praying over a classroom with, like, this sappy worship music going on, and she was praying about, it was like the blessing, and I was like, oh, that's really cute. And then I kept sliding, and I was like, every teacher in the world is doing this right now. And I was like, I don't think you're supposed to do that when you pray. I think you're supposed to go into your prayer closet and not pray play Carrie Job over you praying, right, and posting it. Cringy. Let me give you some more cringy ones. Pastors who write books and then sign copies of them. I'm like, that's weird to me. You know what I'm talking about? When you're like, see me in the back, I'll sign a copy for you. I'm like, dude, you're not him, right? Like, you're not Michael Jordan, right? And so, like, at mentioning your own quote. You know what I mean? You like quote, you'll be like, at Steve Dufresne, right? At chat, right? And so anyway, here's my favorite. This happens at Journey Church all the time. This is cringy for me. I'm walking in. Somebody had their camera out, and they're videotaping themselves during worship. They'll be like, you know what I mean? Like, and you're like, I don't think that's the point of this right now, right? growing up, no, that's too much. I just want to knock the camera out your hand, right? Growing up, when pastors had front row parking spaces, like, to me, that's like, should be for those not yet here. I'm just saying. And so, cringy for me. One famous CCM artist boycott things and tell everybody they're boycotting them. If you're in the Christian bubble, you know what I'm talking about. Just don't go and give the money back. Be on with yourself. Like, there's just so many cringy things we do at church. And here's why I started reading through the Gospels through the lens of the ick. And I was like, Jesus was always getting the cringe. But he wasn't getting it with like sinful tax collectors, prostitutes, the people that we tend to in church. He got it with the church people. In fact, I'm going to take you into Matthew chapter 23. It's an entire chapter dedicated, we might stay here the whole series, dedicated to the icks he has with the religious folks, mainly the Pharisees. If you don't know anything about the Pharisees, is Pharisees were like the rulest rule followers. You ever, some of you have a sibling like this. They follow all the rules, always get you in trouble. But they didn't follow the rules because they love God. They followed the rules because they love people's eyes to be on them as they followed the rules. In fact, at that time, the Jewish people had what they called the law of God. They interpreted the law of God as about 613 laws that they should follow. Many of them were things you shouldn't do. Some of them were things you should do. And they followed these laws, not understanding the law was given to them to show them they were lawbreakers and they needed a savior. Instead, they tried to follow the law, but the Pharisees not only took the 613 laws, they also had what was called the oral law, where they would take the laws of Christ and then add laws to it and make everybody else face all these laws they kept changing. And if you didn't face them, you weren't as religious as they were. And so what I want to do is I want to take you into Matthew chapter 23, and I want to show you this. And what's interesting in this chapter, we're not going to get to it, but Jesus will get to the point where he starts going, whoa. And when he's saying the word woe in Greek, it's actually defined as grief, indignation, or distress. He's not mad at them. He's mad for them. He's like, man, if this is what you think a relationship with God looks like, this really sucks. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you think a relationship with God involves you wearing your Sunday best, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it really sucks because that's not that, your Sunday best, not that good. If you think a relationship with God is a bunch of rules you have to follow, if you think a relationship with God is a few times a month church attendance, if you think a relationship with God is confirmation or whatever class you have to send your kids into to get them into heaven someday, I think Jesus' heart is broken for us. And I think that's what he's going to show us in this. And like what I love about Jesus is you would think if he was like the Jesus we love, he'd be like, hey, we need to talk about this in private. And Jesus is like, I'm going to tell everybody what you're doing wrong. I'm going to call this whole thing out. Because some of you are like, could you really say that about pastors parking close? Yes, it's stupid. Are you tracking me? Jesus would never do that. Jesus would never be like, this is my parking spot. I died on the cross for your sins. This is where I park. He stepped out of eternity into brokenness, right? Like, he wouldn't do those things. And it's okay to be like, that doesn't make sense. We should probably evaluate that. So here's what Jesus does, Matthew chapter 23. He says, then Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. So he's going to talk about them, but he's going to talk to other people. He's going to address them because they're always listening because they were like that. But he's actually going to talk to his disciples and to the crowds. He says, the teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so be careful to do everything they tell you. In other words, what they're teaching you is not wrong. They're just applying it wrong. It's not wrong. They're teaching you the right thing. And then he says in verse number 3, he says, but do not do what they do. You know you're in trouble when Jesus says they're teaching stuff right, but they're not applying it right. So don't do what they do. Watch what he says. For they do not practice what they preach. You guys remember the AI? We're talking about practice. They do not practice what they preach. They preach humility, chase honor. We'll see that. They teach generosity, live in greed. They teach purity, hide corruption. They demand obedience, but they excuse themselves. He goes on to say, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads. They teach this stuff, put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger. Don't do what they do. They don't practice what they preach. In other words, you don't have to be religious to be a Pharisee. You just have to get in the habit of valuing your image over your integrity. That's what he's going to teach. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you pulled up here today, this is the one place you should be able to be a mess. Ugly cry. Fight. Not have it all together. Do you know that? And you pulled on, you were like a mile from church and you were fighting and you started feeling that stress. And you saw that greet and treat flag in the distance. You started elbowing your spouse saying, hey, we're going to pick this fight up after church is over. Because I don't want anybody to see how much of fools we are. You look in the back and you tell your kids, listen, you've made this morning hell. I tried to put that costume on you. You yelled about every piece of it. You almost lost your Christianity. We're at church. Get yourself together. We act right in this place. And God's like, you ain't right. You think I'm in the room waiting for you? I've been in your bedroom, in your dreams, in your fights, in your kitchens. I've been everywhere with you. You should be coming for help today, but instead of coming for help and getting in my presence and ugly crying and raising your hands, instead you put on your church front because you value what people see over your own integrity. This is the struggle in their life. In fact, the word integrity just means one. It means you, listen to me, it means you don't act one way at church and another way at work. It means you don't worship on Sunday and lie on Monday. You tracking with me? It means this is who you are. This is what you're dealing with. This is what you're going after. When you leave this place, you're just the same. In fact, integrity isn't perfection. I don't want you to hear, I want you to get confused. Oh, I got to be perfect. Pastor is calling me to be perfect. Bro, you are far from perfect. Here's what integrity is. Integrity is the desire to be consistent. I want to be consistent in my life. And here's why this is so important. Jesus is very concerned with this. Here's why. An inconsistent entity destroys the trust of the people they're trying to reach. I'm going to give you a couple examples. So I'm on the Phoenixville Patch. And I like to go on Phoenixville Patch because there's just fights all the time on there. It's fun. I don't post because I'm a pastor, but I read, right? And I always in my head rehearse what I would say. And so, a few months, so Phoenix, if you live in Phoenixville, you know parking's crazy. They just keep building stuff and people keep moving here and the older people are like, we don't want all these people here and all this stuff, and they're dumb. And so, because it's awesome. If you live in Phoenixville, it's awesome. But another problem with Phoenixville is traffic is crazy. And but that's what happens. It's the same problem that happens at church. People be like, you know, traffic is bad. I'm like, that's a good problem to have. Like, if your team sucks, you don't have traffic. I went to the Giants game a few weeks ago. Like, there was no, you know what I'm saying? If you go to the link, it's all backed up. It takes you 2 hours to sleep. You don't get mad about that. It's because we're good. And so like, Phoenixville is all backed up, and it's traffic everywhere. And so business owners got on. They started, like, arguing. And one business owner was like, we don't need more, you know, people. We need parking garages because I own a business, and my business is failing because there's not enough parking and all this stuff. And in my head, I'm like, I know what business they own. I'm like, that's not why your business is failing. Right? Because I've been there. And I'm not going to say nothing, but then another business owner swooped in. And he was like, I disagree with your assessment of the town. He said, I don't think more parking or less traffic or less people is going to make your business successful. He said, what I've noticed in Phoenixville is the businesses that make it are the ones that are consistent. If you say you're going to be open and you're not open and people show up and try to do business with you and you're not open when you say you're going to be open, they lose trust and you close. If you say you sell French fries and people show up to get French fries and you ain't got no French fries, said you got chips that day because you ran out, then they stop coming to the French fry place. This is just, there's no French fry, I'm just using this, right? Just trying to figure, I can see you trying to figure it out. And he argued, he said, it's the inconsistency, it's the consistent businesses. If businesses are consistent and people can trust you, they'll walk blocks to come eat there. And he said, this is the problem. Listen to me. You ever been around a parent? So some of you grew up in church, and I'm not talking about your parents, but you ever have a friend's parent? And you would go to their house after church, and they were just worshiping. You saw their hands up, all this stuff. They were a deacon or an elder. All of a sudden, they met, and you go to their house, and they literally act like a pawn of Satan. They curse. They're selfish, all these things. And then they wonder someday, why don't my kids love Jesus after I took them to church my whole life? And the truth is because you took them to church, but Monday through Saturday, you ruined it. And you lost the trust of that. And it's not about perfection, because your kids need to see you're not perfect. If you ask my boys, they would tell you stories about me. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I'm consistent in my need for the grace of God. I'm consistent in my commitment to Him. You see, when you're inconsistent, that entity will destroy trust. And here's why it's so important. An inconsistent Christian will be used to destroy the trust of those that Jesus came to save and they've been sent to reach. I mean, think about it. What is the one message we're sharing as Christians? You should trust Jesus. You should trust Jesus. Like, watch this. John 3 says it like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, by the way, you can switch that word out in scripture for the word trust. It's not just a mental thing, it's a life thing. If you trust Jesus, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe or trust stands condemned already because they have not trusted in the name of God's one and only son. So here's the question. Let me just ask you this. Let me pose this to you. Then we're going to jump right in to our points and get out of here. How can you expect others to trust Jesus when the ones who say they trust him aren't trustworthy? You write it down somewhere. Because I'm doing case studies of why Christians do not lead people to Jesus. How do you come here every week and be surrounded by people that are going to hell and not have some type of residual effect in their life? How do you, and I'm beginning to do scientific research, limited in my head. Some of you are like, what are you doing? Just watching your life and my life. And I literally think the reason other people don't trust Jesus is because they look at the ones who say they trust Jesus and we're not trustworthy. And the foundation of trust, guess what it is? Consistency. In fact, I called my message, be cool, period, be consistent. Be consistent. Consistency is the new cool. Wouldn't you agree with me? One of the greatest problems in our world, let's just talk about inside the church, is we are not consistent for a long period of time. So let me just give you three things that will happen. Let me give you three thoughts. There's real simple ones. And some of you are like, man, you're really talking a lot about how we act lately. Because we got to get it together. I have realized that there's positives and benefits to pastoring a large church. There's a lot of positives. It's fun. The negatives is, I don't really go into public anymore without somebody knowing someone that goes to this church. And I find myself a lot going, which one do you know? And then if they say something, I'll be like, they don't go here anymore, right? Like they because you and me are a walking, talking billboard for the goodness and grace of God. And so I didn't want to talk about your conduct again because Taylor did it last week. And I kind of did it the week before, but I just have a dream for our church. Let me give you one dream. I love our kids' ministry. They'll have 600, 700 kids here today for this greet and treat, right? I told our staff, I said, my dream over the next 10 years is that our kids and our youth ministry get so large and so influential that all the sports leagues in the area have to rearrange their Sunday morning schedules because so many of the good players on the team are at Journey Church. You know what I'm talking about? Because they're not rearranging it for the right fielder. You know what I'm talking about? And so we need size and we need skill in here. So I'm praying for both. You know what I'm talking about. And so here we go. Let me just jump into this. What's so cool about consistency? Let me just give you three. They're real simple. They'll build off each other. One, when you're consistent, your words become credible. Your words become credible. I was thinking about one of my favorite NFL coaches of all time. His name was Tony Dungy. You guys know who that is? Yeah. He's just a good coach. Donnie, you can tell, he's not a yeller. He's just real consistent. He's like dad-like. You know what I'm talking about? Or grandfather-like now. And he coached successful NFL teams. He coached the Bucks. He coached the Colts. I remember when Michael Vick got out of prison and he was going to try to restart his career, there was a lot of haters in the world. Even in the church, it was weird. I was like, you cheated on your wife last year. And so, you know what I'm talking about? You're like, he killed dogs. I'm like, you killed your kids forever, spiritually. And so, like, what are we talking about? Am I right or wrong? Because you know how people are with animals. I'm like, dude, really? And so, we're preaching the grace of God. We get second chances here. And so, he got a second chance and they called Coach Dungy to be his mentor. Do you guys remember that? Because he's got this great ability to speak into young men's lives. And one time they asked one of his players, because he's not a yeller. Like, you know, like there's coaches you have that you obey them because if you don't, you might end up in a cement box somewhere. You're like scared. You know what I'm talking about? Parents do this. If your kid only listens to you because you're like, ah, That's not good parenting, and my wife tells me that. And he didn't coach like that. So they asked one of his players one time, when Coach Dungy talks, why do you listen? When Coach Dungy talks, why do you listen? Here's what he said. This is a great quote. He says, because he's the same man on Monday as he is when all the lights are on Sunday. When nobody's watching, he's the same. And I just want to encourage you for a second. People don't believe what you say until they're able to trust you when no one else is looking. They're able to trust what you do. You see, your consistency gives your words weight. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's people who say things, but then they do the opposite, and then everybody's like, stop saying those things. Like, let me give you some examples. Politicians who promote moral standards, but are having an affairs the whole time. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, that doesn't make sense to me. Or public figures who demand environmental responsibility because of the, you know, what's going on in our environment, but they fly around in private jets everywhere. It doesn't make no sense to me. Or sports players who talk about discipline, and they have all these types of commercials. They give inspirational speeches, but off the field, they melt down, aka Tiger Woods. Remember that? Like, he would be like, I'm disciplined, and I'm do all that, and I do that. And I'm like, bro, you sleep with everything that breathes. Like, that doesn't make no sense. Those commercials with all the swooshes and the music and all those things, they don't make sense to me because you're not living like it when nobody's watching you. I mean, it's over and over and over again. Brands that champion social justice for marketing but ignore it eternally, right? They're like, we care about people. Open another sweatshop in China, right? Like, it's a problem because the more that your words don't line up with your life, the more credibility that you lose. In fact, God took me to some passages that I didn't fully understand why, and then he started revealing it to me. But he said this in Romans 10, because this is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It says, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone going to preach to them? Like, how can they hear? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, the problem in the church is not that we don't know what to say. It's that our feet and our mouth often don't match. I have the right words, but my feet when I leave. You see, maybe Jesus doesn't need more talkers of truth. Maybe he needs more walkers of it. He needs people who understand that consistency makes your words credible. Let me give you an example. 2020, how many of you were here? 2020, raise your hand, 2020. Everybody look around, there's three of you, that's great. And so, thank you. Tells me a couple things. We don't have consistency, right? And so, because there was other people here. But you remember 2021, we came out of COVID, and I was like, we're going to do something different as a church. We're going to expand in Phoenixville. We're going to put these bleachers. They haven't always been here. We're going to put these bleachers in. We're going to add this kid space. We're going to reach 500 kids on a Sunday morning. We're going to do all this stuff. Remember all that? I said all that. And all that's happened. Not because I said it was going to happen, but because the Lord established that in my heart. And I could see it, and I knew we just got to get out the way, and he would do it. And he has. Like, if you pulled in today, you realize there's no parking. We have four services. They're all filling up. These two middle ones overflowing. We had more people here last service than we have seats. There's going to be hundreds of kids here. It's been incredibly good. Now, could you imagine if I would have told you in 2021, hey, this is all going to happen, and those fools that just raised their hand at me were the only people here right now? And then I said, hey, 2026, we're going to do another campaign. We're going to start another church. We're going to make more room. They'd be like, why? There's seven of us here. But listen, you can trust when we say, hey, this is where God is leading us. You can trust it because of the credibility of the past. And I just want to, because some of you are like, I follow Jesus. And people are like, okay. And you're like, nobody listens to my words. And they're like, because we want to watch the credibility of your actions first. We don't see how this all, because some of you follow Jesus, and last year you were doing Pilates. And it changed your life. And the year before, hot yoga. You know what I'm talking about? No? And the year before that, you were going to start up. And everybody's like, let's just wait and see, right? Because you want credibility. It's your consistency that develops the credibility of your words. Let me go even one step further. Because I think when we start talking about sharing our faith with our words, it freaks a lot of us out. Am I right or wrong? Like, I don't know what to say. What am I going to say? You want my words to have credibility? When I get the opportunity, I don't even know what to say. By the way, we call this in the Christian circle apologetics. Anybody ever heard that term? Apologetics is your ability to know your faith so well that you can argue somebody so good they get saved. Never happened in the history of the world. It just doesn't happen. You don't argue somebody out of hell with truth. You know how I know that? Because if Jesus was here and he was super true and he literally stood on this stage and said, I am Jesus, follow me, some of you still wouldn't follow him. So truth is not enough. There's another work of the Holy Spirit, right? This is what the Jehovah's Witness use as their go-to, by the way. They go to a house, they plan out an argument. Here's A, B, C, D, E, and F. The problem is sometimes they get to a house and that person goes to Z and they're in trouble. So I'm not talking to you about apologetics or arguing your faith. Let me give you another step. Number two, your consistency enables your witness to become clear. Your witness becomes one of my favorite quotes when I was a young pastor by Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi. I don't know anything about him. All I know is there's a drawing where he's holding birds. That's all I know. But he has this quote that was always profound to me. And the quote went like this. It said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I love that. And I think sometimes you got to use words. But what he is saying is your life is constantly displaying a message. So you don't have to worry, what if I don't have the right answer? Or what if I say something wrong? Instead, I'm going to live a consistent life, and that consistent life takes the pressure off my mouth and builds it through my daily movement in my life. Watch this. 1 Peter 2 says, dear children, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. I want to stop right there. What he's trying to tell us is you're going to be in this world, but you're not going to be of this world. And because you're not of this world, sometimes the way you talk is going to be different than this world. So you have to go deeper. I'll give you an example. Last night, it was late at night, like 6. It's late for me, though, on a Saturday night. I had no kids there. One of my sons was at a sleepover. Lincoln wasn't there. Carter was working. And we were driving. We dropped Lincoln off, and we were driving, and Leah was like, you want to get food? And I was like, yes. And she was like, you want to get tacos? And I was like, say less. So we pulled off this little Mexican restaurant we'd never been to before, never. Walked into this Mexican restaurant, and there was just a few people eating in there on a Saturday night, which I don't know if that's good or bad. And went up to the register, and it was like a real Mexican restaurant. So the people that were serving didn't speak good English. So I'm trying to order tacos, and, you know, they have them in Spanish, and I don't know how to say the word. And so I'm just like, I'm pointing at stuff. And then Leah's like, there's add-ons for everything. And she's like, can we add guacamole? I was like, girl, anything for you. And so I pointed at the guacamole. I said, guacamole on the tacos. And we got all our stuff. And then I said, it's to go. And he shook his head, it's to go. Okay. And they went to making them. And then we sat down in a booth, and we were just chilling. And Leah was like, let's just eat it here. And I was like, all right. So he brought the tacos in like a to-go styrofoam thing, and he handed them. He was like, it's to-go. I said, no, we're just going to eat it here. And a lot of times in American places where everybody speaks English, you ever notice that everybody speaks English, but they can send you a message without speaking to you that they don't want you there? They don't say, I don't want you there. They just let you know. About 75% of all businesses in Pennsylvania do this. And so he couldn't say, we're glad you're staying, we're glad you're here, all this stuff. He couldn't say that to me because we're not speaking the same language. So I sit down, and he sees me. Big smile goes on his face, and he quick goes behind the counter, and he grabs a styrofoam tray, and he fills it up with chips I didn't pay for, beans, and that Spanish Mexican shredded cheese, puts it on it, brings it to us. I'm like, I didn't pay for this. He's like, free, right? Like, it's yours. And then I'm like, crazy. And then I opened up our tacos, and there was no guacamole on. I'm like, I don't know how to say guacamole. So I walked up, and he was like, we're smiling. I'm like, we don't, the green stuff, we don't got it. I don't know if I paid for it. I don't know how to say anything, right? And he scoops up a big thing of guacamole, and he just gives it to me, smiling. And I took out and he's like, And he brought, like, in every, no verifiable English was being exchanged in that moment. None. But it was very clear in that moment that these two gentlemen that own this restaurant, I'm assuming, or a part of it, they wanted us to be there. They were interested in us being customers. And I promise you, even if the food wasn't good, and it was, I would go back there again. And I just, like, this is what this scripture's saying. We put the weight on our words, right? But you're different. So he says, as foreigners and exiles, abstain from sinful desires. Just let me just summarize that. Stop coming to church and sinning. Right? Don't be telling people you come to church and still getting drunk every weekend. What? The Bible says to get drunk on the Spirit. It's not talking about that one. Like, it don't make no sense. Right? Stop coming to church and sleeping around with your boyfriend and girlfriend. Stop coming to church and gossiping. Like, abstain, he says, right? Which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, man, what's wrong with you? You're weird. They see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. It makes your witness clear without even having the right words to say. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Let me give you a couple thoughts. Just write these down. I'm not going to overwhelm you because somebody's like, what am I supposed to do with this, right? Watch this. Number one. If you want to speak and preach without ever speaking and preaching, number one, keep showing up. You know what I'm talking about? Like, some of you work for somebody and you're like, I needed a mental health day on Friday. And if I asked you why, you'd be like, I was just so tired. I watched every episode of that new show, Love Island, right? I mean, find Jesus in that. I don't know where he's at. I'm trying. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody like, I don't watch Love Island. I watch The Golden Bachelor. So much better, right? And so instead, you don't take that day. You show up. You go to bed and you do what you say you're going to do. You be the best employee that your employer has. That's what a you don't need to speak Christianese. You just need to be a good worker. And he's going to wonder, what's wrong with this person? Because nobody's like this, right? Do what you say you're going to do. Finish what you start. You know how people start? You want to finish nothing? You want to stick out? Finish what you start. Respond with peace instead of panic. Here's a good one for you. Watch this. Treat people the same on Monday when nobody's watching than you do on Sunday when everybody's watching. Let me give you an example. I'll meet people and be like, I'm a greeter at Journey. I hold the door on Sunday. And then on Monday at Wawa, you're just slamming the door in everybody's face. Right? You hold it for every person here on Monday, you're counting. What? This is my turn now. Yield, right? It's like, no. You're a greeter all the time. You're living for Christ all the time. It makes your witness clear. Let me just give you one more thought. Number three. I'm going to bring this thing in for a landing. Number three. The result is your world becomes curious. Let me explain your world. Because when we think of world, we think of world. So Christians historically are like, I'm going to go change the world. And what that means is I'm going to go on a corner, I'm going to yell at people on a box. I'm going to do evangelism. I'm going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to do something that changes the world. So let me just define your world. We all have a world. Your world is the people in your surroundings, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your friends, your classmates, your coaches, your teachers, your barbers, your mechanics, the people who wait on you, the people that are in your sphere of influence. That's your world. And I think it's weird. I'm just going to say this. I think it's weird that you have that. I'm not talking about changing the world. I'm going to go change the world. Okay, change your neighbor. I'm going to change the world. Change your physics class. Change your lunchroom. Sit with the kid nobody sits with. Look at the cafeteria lady that everybody disrespects and tell them thank you. Look at your waiter or your waitress. Not in anger because they brought your food late. Not because they brought it wrong. Not because, oh, it was cold. Trust me, all of us could do well to miss a meal in America. Right or wrong? Right? Instead, see them for who they are. Make eye contact with them. Talk to people. Humanize them. Have an effect. Because here's what I think. I think it's crazy. You have all those people in your sphere of influence, and you can come here every week, and those people still not be curious about what's going on in your life. Like, they still don't stop you and go, I noticed something different about you. Because it's so natural if you think about it. Like, it's cold today, right? But in like 3 months, it's going to be like depressing cold. And many of you are going to go on a vacation at some point in the winter. You're smart. You're going to pack your family up. You're going to get your shorts and your ugly Hawaiian shirts. You're going to fly south. You're going to go to an island. And by no choice of yours, you're going to spend a week on that island and your life's going to change. Your skin's going to look nicer. The winter bags under your eyes are going to go away. Your frown's going to be a smile. Your joy is going to be restored. Vitamin D is going to cancel out vitamin hell. You know what I'm talking about from up here? And you're going to come back on that plane after that week. You're going to look different. You're not going to have to walk around at all and tell people you were on vacation. You will. Because what's the fun in going on vacation if you can't share the pictures? But people are just going to notice something different about you. You look happier. You look tanner. You look healthier. I was on vacation. Man, that's nice. Tell me how to get there. Would you pay for it? Right? Like, anyway. And so I think that's so natural, right? Right? But then you go to church. Isn't it weird you can come to church into the presence of God? He brings joy, unspeakable joy, the peace that surpasses all understanding. That week of vacation does not pale in comparison to what the joy in the presence of the Lord does here every Sunday. And you leave here and you're like, nobody ever asked me about my faith. What? How can the Lord be doing all that in your life and people around you not be curious? And here's why. Because you're not consistent. Because you're one way here and you're different at work and you're different at school and you're different in the cafeteria and you're different when you drive and you're different at Wawa and you're different on sports teams and you're different with other people's families and you're different in the neighborhood and you're different all the time and you're wondering why that God is not using your life. It's because you're not allowing Him to make you different so you can make a difference. I just happen to think that when you get consistent, that the world becomes curious. Like, watch this. 1 Peter 3, watch this. This is good. He says, in your heart revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. Now watch this part. What does it say? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. What does that next part say? Come on, now we're going to say it all together because this is profound. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. What's that next three words? Who what? So let me ask you something. When's the last time somebody asked you about your faith? I'm prepared to give an answer. Nobody wants to talk to you. I'm prepared to tell the world. The world don't want to listen to you. You're a jerk. You should be so changed that people in your sphere of influence are going, what is different about you? In fact, it happens in the Bible. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas get thrown in prison. And the only reason they're in prison is because they follow Jesus. That's it. And what you doing if you get thrown in prison just for following Jesus? You're complaining. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, they start singing. What? They're making a joyful noise in prison. They're singing. People are listening. As they begin to sing, the Bible says that the foundation of the jail shakes, the doors fall off of the jail cells, and the chains fall off their arms. When that happens, the guy who's in charge of the prisoners freaks out because if you lose the prisoners, you'll surely die. So he just assumes these guys have all escaped. It's dark. They're gone. I'm going to die. He takes out a sword or a spear. He's about to kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. We're still here. Something happens. He comes to Paul. You notice Paul's not like, we're still here and you're going to hell and you need Jesus. The Bible says because of his reaction and his response to saving this man's life, the man comes and says to him, what do I got to do to have what you have? And the coolest thing is the Bible says in that jail, that jailer washes him. Paul shares the gospel with that jailer. He gets saved, and he gets baptized. Paul didn't share the gospel. Paul allowed the gospel to be shared through his life. And I just think to myself, imagine if we got this. Imagine if we left this place and the 500 people in this room for the next 7 days were like, you know what? I'm actually going to represent Jesus. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be giving. I'm going to hand out king-size candy bars on Halloween. Like, you know, I'm going to show people Jesus. Could you imagine how many people would be calling your phone, knocking on your door saying, hey, what you got? I need it. Because some of you are like, people aren't looking for Jesus. Yes, they are. They're looking for hope. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace that surpasses all understanding. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for love. All those things are found in Christ alone. And you and me have Christ in us, and we're supposed to share him with the world. Amen? Would you stand to your feet? Lord, we love you. We thank you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you, Father, that this is a message that we're building as a church. That we don't want to just be a big crowd of people. God, that we want to be an influential church at this time in history. And Lord, we know that we are walking, talking billboards for you. And so, Lord, we take this serious. We want to represent you in everything we think, say, and do. Lord, we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be one day on Sunday and another way on Monday. But Lord, we want to represent you well. And as you're praying, maybe you're here today quickly, and you would say, you know what? When you talk about faking it, that's me. I come into this place and I fake it every Sunday. Some of you have been coming for years and faking it. And you think you're fooling somebody. The problem is that God not only looks at your life, he looks at your heart. He sees your thoughts. He's paying attention when no one else is watching. And the Bible talks about you. It says, with your lips, you say you love me, but with your lifestyle, you deny me. You got to line those two things up. In fact, I think the work begins when nobody's watching. The Bible calls you a hypocrite. All a hypocrite is somebody who plays the part. And God, would you not allow this place to be a place where people can come in here and fake it? We can come in here and be broken. We can come in here and be struggling. We can come in here, Lord. But this place is a place of humility where we realize that we can be truthful and honest. We can call to you and you will answer. So maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Today is your day. You're not truly following him. You're faking it. But you know you need to get things right with Jesus. The Bible says if you would call, he would answer. He'll meet you like a mighty river in this place. His spirit will begin to transform you from the inside out. But it always starts with the step of surrender and humility. I'm not who I say I am. And I can't do this on my own. Jesus, would you meet me here in this moment? Come on, he's here. He's here. He's knocking at the door of your heart. God, would this be an honest moment? I need Jesus Christ. I need him in a real way. I've never asked him to be the Lord of my life. I'm not fully following him. But today's my day, all over this house. In surrender, nobody's looking around. You say, Pastor, that's me. You're speaking to me right now. You're speaking to me. Would you just begin to shoot your hand towards heaven? I need Jesus right now to meet me in this moment. I see hand. I see hand. I see hand. Hand, hand, yes. I mean, Jesus Christ, I see your hand. Thank you. I see another hand back there. Another hand, yes. You just keep clapping, church. Would you pray something like this out loud? Say, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. So thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that because you rose in power, today, by faith, I'm a brand new person. I'm healed and I'm forgiven. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. All over this house. Would you clap one more time with me?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.